word. And I have a question for all our children here today. Can I see your hands? All the kids. All right. How many of you know the story of Jericho? Can I see your hands? All right. It's a story that we all know well. How many adults know the story of Jericho? Can I see your hands? Okay, so what can we learn anew from this story? As I was preparing and studying and asking God to guide my thoughts today and asking His Holy Spirit to be our teacher, there are things that apply to us today that applied back then to Joshua as he stood afar and looked at this incredible city on a hill with walls fortified, and they were supposed to go and conquer it. What do you think Joshua's thoughts were like? If I were in his shoes, I would be thinking, okay, I need people on this side and on this other side. Somehow we need to surround the city so no one can escape. We better have backup in case something happens that's not supposed to happen. We better have enough supplies. Not just weapons, but food, water. And I can imagine Joshua thinking and thinking and thinking of all of these things he needed. And before we go to Joshua chapter 6, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5 tells us a little bit of what the children of Israel were doing in Gilgal, a place where they had celebrated their first Passover in the Promised Land, a place where they had tasted the first fruits of this beautiful land, and manna had ceased to fall upon them, a place where they had reconsecrated themselves through circumcision, and their shame had been rolled away. In fact, that's what the name Gilgal means, roll, roll. They were supposed to remember this very specific place when they had crossed over Jordan and were ready now to conquer the land ahead of them. And it was here where Joshua has an incredible encounter. How many of you would like to encounter someone you admire, someone special, someone big, and just spend time with that person? It might be the best in your field of expertise. It might be someone that everyone admires. Or it might be someone very close to you. Joshua, verse 13, tells us, was by Jericho. And the text there in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, tells us that Joshua lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite with his sword drawn in his hand. I want to think that Joshua looked up, brothers and sisters, because Joshua was at that moment praying. Amen? He had his head bowed down. He was asking God for help. He was asking God, show me what is it that you want me to do? And as he was there praying, the Bible tells us that he lifted his eyes and he saw a man standing opposite of him with his sword drawn. A soldier. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Joshua, the first thing I would do was run. And I would run to this side or to the other side, wherever I could find safety and hide. And if I didn't have any other opportunity, then I would probably try to defend myself and fight. But that's not what Joshua does. Joshua, the Bible tells us, went to him. What did he do? He went to him. I don't know what Joshua saw, but he saw something different about this soldier. It was a soldier he had never seen before in his life. And this prompted him to ask a very important question. His question was, are you for us or for our adversaries? Joshua asked, are you a friend or a foe? Are you on our side or on their side? And those are very common questions we human beings ask, isn't it? We tend to, hey, are you a friend or are you my enemy? And I think the answer that Joshua heard that day was surprising to him. Because this warrior said to him, no. He said, what, brothers and sisters? No. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. This phrase, commander of the army of the Lord, appears only one more time in the entire Old Testament. And that is in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verse 11. The commander of the host was in front of Joshua. And if there's someone that Joshua needed to talk to, especially before conquering Jericho, was that one person, the commander of the host of the Lord. If I were Joshua, I would have said, well, good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. I've got this big, important task, and I've got this idea. I'm thinking of 1,000 men over here, 3,000 over here. And I would start telling my plans. Was this what Joshua said to the captain of the host of the Lord? No. In fact, this is what Joshua does. Something very interesting. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? How is it that we pray? Are your prayers like my prayers? God bless me. God help me with this situation. God, and I have a list of things that I want God to do for me. Or are you like Joshua? God, I have no idea what to do. What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want your people to do? What is it that we're supposed to be thinking about, planning, doing at this moment of Earth's history? And I believe Joshua just poured his heart out at that moment, worshiping God and saying, God, what is your will? Does God answer, brothers and sisters? When we pray to him like that, does he answer? He answers. He's only wanting you and me to be attentive, to open our heart and our mind and our ears to hearing him, no one else but him. And the first thing the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, verse 15 tells us, was, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. Do any of you mind taking off your shoes? I like to be barefoot. I don't know why, but I grew up like that. I remember being in with my grandparents in Florida, and the asphalt can get pretty hot. Do you think I wanted to wear sandals or shoes? No, I wanted to be barefooted. My wife, she has to have shoes or sandals or something on all the time. She does not like to step on a cold floor. But God said, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy. Is there a story in the Bible of someone else who took off his sandals? Moses. God speaking to him from a burning bush. He approached it. Wow, what is this wonder? And God said, Moses, Moses, take off the sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. What makes a place holy, brothers and sisters? God makes a place holy. What makes a person holy, brothers and sisters? God. Anything that belongs to God is holy. And God was telling Joshua, Joshua, this land is my land. And I can give it to whomever I want. Chapter 6 tells us in verse 1, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. In other words, people in Jericho were afraid. They said, we're not going out. We have enough supplies in here for 2-3 years. Enough food, enough water. We've got some pretty big walls. That's Gilgal. That's Jericho today. It's a big mound, dirt mound. Some people think this is what it used to look like. Double walls, big fortification, lots of food inside. In fact, they found jars full of grain that were destroyed by fire. It's another view. And here we have pretty well fortified. And that's a little map of the area of this oldest city. That's how they consider Jericho one of the oldest cities that have existed. I believe, brothers and sisters, what we find in Joshua chapter 6 are the instructions of the commander of the host of the Lord. Amen? And in chapter 6, it tells us, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. He continued instructing him, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city. How many times? Once. This you shall do 6 days. Is that a military strategy? You go and you march around the city and you go back to your camp. I think military strategies go something like this, where you surround the city and you make sure no one goes in or out. You siege it and you start building things around it and trying to knock those walls down on one side or the other. Or you just wait till they're so desperate they give up and they come out. But God said, no, Joshua, it's going to be different this time. I want you to go and march around the city only once for 6 days. Verse 4. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. Are pastors your best warriors? You can say no, it's okay. It won't offend me. Especially not this pastor. He won't be able to defend you much. But God said, I want you to call seven priests, and they shall bear seven trumpets of rams, and they will go before the ark. Who did the ark represent, brothers and sisters? God, his throne. That was the seat of his government. But the seventh day, he continues on saying, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall do what? Shout. Can you all shout just once? Shout. Can you do it again one more time? They're going to what? Shout. There you go. They're going to shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. Let's say we shouted as hard as we could. Would the walls fall down of this building? No. Maybe our ears would hurt, yes. But the building would remain. So God was telling Joshua to do something that humanly seemed what? Impossible. Those walls can't fall down. By marching around seven times the last day, shouting. Did Joshua believe the commander of the host of the Lord? He believed him. In fact, that's what verse 8 tells us. I'm sorry, verse 6 tells us. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant. I pause there. Take up the ark of the covenant. The word in Hebrew that appears there is the word nasa. And it means to lift up, to bear, to carry. It's one of the first Hebrew words I learned. And the way I learned it is because it sounds a lot like NASA. Okay? So NASA, you go up. So I said, okay, NASA, nasa, go up. I can learn this. I can remember this. Brothers and sisters, who do we need to be lifting up? Priests that are here of your household, who do you need to be lifting up? Jesus. This war can only be won if we lift Jesus up. Amen? There's no other way. And yes, men, this is for us. Are we lifting Jesus up at home? Are we lifting Jesus up at work? Are we lifting Jesus up at church? Are we lifting up Jesus in our community? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will what? I will draw all men. I will draw them to myself. Is God calling us today to lift him up? More than ever before. He is calling his people to lift him up. He also instructed the priests, let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. Did the people need to believe this message too, brothers and sisters? Or was it only Joshua who needed to believe this message? I can imagine the priests going like, you want us to be in the front of all this? Yes. And in front of the ark, seven priests with seven trumpets. Do you have anyone with shields to protect us? No, God didn't talk about any shields. How about some spears? No, no spears. Just ram's horn? Just a ram's horn. Okay. Interesting plan. Yes. But it was the captain, it was the commander of the host of the Lord who said so. Amen? I want to share a quote from volume 7 of Testimonies to the Church that says the following: Do we realize how large a number in the world are watching our movements? From quarters where we least expect will come voices urging us forward in the work of giving to the world the last message of mercy. Ministers and people, wake up. Be quick to recognize and seize every opportunity and advantage offered in the turning of the wheel of providence. God and Christ and the heavenly angels are working with intense activity to hold in check the fierceness of Satan's wrath, that God's plans may not be thwarted. God lives and reigns. He is conducting the affairs of the universe. Let his soldiers move forward to victory. Let there be perfect unity in their ranks. Let them press the battle to the gates. As a mighty conqueror, the Lord will work for them. Powerful quote. An invitation to put our trust in whom? In God, in the commander, the conqueror, who wants to fight all of our battles. How was your week? Share with me. How was your week? Easy? Was it it was a breeze this week. I see a lot of heads nodding, going, no, Pastor. It was tough, difficult. If you only knew. And you know what? I heard it in first service too. So you're not alone. First service. Satan is fighting. He knows he has little time. But praise God, we have God on our side. Amen? The great conqueror, the mighty warrior, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will fight for you and for me. Are you praying for your children? Amen. Are you praying for your grandchildren? Amen. He is there, right beside them. As I was reading this story, one of the things that struck me was, for whatever reason, in my view of the conquest of Jericho, these men marched around in silence for 6 days, and the priests did not play the trumpets. That was my understanding for, I guess, 40-some years, until I read it again. Let's read verse 8. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord advanced. And what did they do? They blew the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets. And the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued to do what? Blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. For whatever reason, I thought everyone had to be in silence. But it was only who? The people. For 7 days, the people in Jericho heard as people marched. No sound of voices, no sounds of any other instrument but trumpets. One after the other, day after day, for 7 days. What are trumpets for, brothers and sisters? For what?
Warning.
For warning. Thank you, Brother Kelly. Trumpets can serve as a sign to warn. Danger is approaching. It can also be used to communicate. Yes, from one side to the other. And the other side responds. Where else do we see trumpets being blown? Where? In Revelation. In fact, I found several things that remind me of the book of Revelation. What I'm doing here is just sharing some pictures, some images, some types of what I see happening in Jericho with things that John, in his inspiration by God, reveals to God's people in these times. This is not exegetical, but I want to share with you some things that I saw in common. Seven priests, seven churches, seven trumpets in Revelation, a loud shout, a loud cry or a loud voice. In the Greek, a loud voice is megaphone, where we get our word in English, megaphone. The ark of the Lord. Do we have the ark of the Lord in the book of Revelation? In fact, it's at the seventh trumpet, where there's a vision of the ark in heaven. There is a remnant in Jericho. Who is that remnant? Rahab and her family, her household, anyone who's inside. Is there a remnant in the book of Revelation? There's a remnant also in the book of Revelation. Jericho falls. Who falls in the book of Revelation? Babylon falls, the great city. The nations fear in the book of Jericho. And the message of God's people is, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. I want to believe, brothers and sisters, that those first 6 days were warnings to the people in Jericho. Don't stay in the city. Come out of her. It will be destroyed. And if you remain in her, you will be destroyed. Do we have a warning to share to the world today? Are we called to blow a trumpet? To give a message of warning? To share to the world, hey, this is coming to an end. Don't get distracted. It's happening. I don't know if you caught this week. I saw a news clip that really, like, whoa, put me back. And it didn't happen in the United States. This is happening right now in South Africa. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Cape Town. Anybody heard of Cape Town? They've gone through a 100-year drought. That's a big city. And they're asking people to take showers only twice a week. They're having to bring water from everywhere around. That's a crisis. When a city that big doesn't have water, you know what happens. People see that someone else has water, and guess what? All of a sudden, that becomes what? My water. There's a warning that the Bible tells us we need to share with the world before it's too late. But God is also needing people to share that warning. Amen? Is he leaving us by ourselves to do this? He's not. In fact, he's inviting us all. He's inviting children, teenagers, moms, dads, all of you. And what we could do is just lift Jesus up. That's what we're called to do. Lift him up. We are nearing the close of this earth's history. Soon we shall stand before the great white throne. Soon your time for work will be forever past. Watch for opportunities to speak a word in season to those with whom you come in contact. This caught my attention. Do not wait to become acquainted before you offer them the priceless treasures of truth. Go to work, and ways will open before you. Amen? Do our neighbors know? Do our friends know? Do our family members know that we are living at the close of this earth's history? I like what verse 12 tells us here in Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Amen? He woke up early. I want to believe to have communion with God. And the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did 6 days. They followed the instructions faithfully. They didn't know how this was going to work, but they followed the instructions faithfully. And verse 15 tells us, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early. Now it wasn't only just Joshua rising up early, it was the entire people. About the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Who has given you the city? The Lord. Joshua understood this is not our doing, this is God. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Does God have his people still in Babylon, brothers and sisters? He does. And it's our privilege to call them out. Amen? Tell them, hey, this is real. This is true. This is happening. And give them the opportunity to follow Jesus. Upon us rests the weighty responsibility of warning the world of its coming doom. From every direction, from far and near, our coming calls for help. God calls upon his church to arise and clothe herself with power. Immortal crowns are to be won. The kingdom of heaven is to be gained. The world perishing in ignorance is to be enlightened. Do we have a mission to fulfill? Is this only for pastors? Is this only for the elders of the church? Is this only for the deacons of the church? Is this for everyone? It's for all of us. And praise God that this week, many of you had the opportunity to share with someone. This week, I received a text message of someone who said, "Pastor Sam, pray for so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so." We shared Jesus with them, and they're excited. Amen? This is one of our church members who was recently baptized. Another of our church members who was recently baptized shared this with me, and I share it here. This during Sabbath school today. "Pastor Sam, we went to a meeting in Fallbrook. And the person who's organizing this event, it's a health event. She asked me if I knew anything about blue zones." Do Adventists know anything about blue zones? And I shared. And everyone in that group were excited. And they're planning to do a health event for Bonzo, for Fallbrook, for many of the cities around us. In fact, they have money for it as well. Is God opening doors for us, brothers and sisters? He opens them wide. Are we willing to go through? Are we willing to invest the time? Are we willing to also maybe invest resources? People want to know, who are you, Adventists? Who's Ellen G. White? Explain that to me. I've heard, but you tell me. The last quote, enfeebled and defective, needing constantly to be warned and counseled, the church is nevertheless the object of Christ's supreme regard. Amen? He is making experiments of grace on human hearts and is effecting such transformations of character that angels are amazed and express their joy in songs of praise. Amen. They're like, wow. Pastor Sam is actually changing. By God's grace, amen. They rejoice to think that sinful, erring human beings can be so transformed as the third, As a third angel's message swells into a loud cry, great power and glory will attend its proclamation. The faces of God's people will shine with the light of heaven. Is that a beautiful quote? We will proclaim this message with power. And power from the Holy Spirit, power that has never been seen before here on planet Earth. But God is calling his people to trust and believe, amen? And to be obedient. If we go to verse 20 in Joshua chapter 6, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, and the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Does God keep his promise, brothers and sisters? he keeps his promises. Does God have the perfect plan? He has the perfect plan. It might not look like your plan. It might not look like my plan. But God has the perfect plan. And praise God, he wants to fight all of our battles. Not just one or some, but he wants to fight all of our battles. May the Lord help us to proclaim this message with power. Amen? Amen. May we continue to trust in his instructions. For he is faithful. The captain, the commander of the host of the Lord's. He's coming back. His name is Jesus. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to have life and life eternal. Amen. At this moment, I would like to invite the congregation to stand as we sing a beautiful hymn, hymn number 604, We Know Not the Hour. We'll sing two stanzas.